A propósito del Día Internacional de los Trabajadores, The Weekly Review, regarding the International Workers' Day. Ayer sábado ha sido, en la mayor parte del mundo, el Día Internacional de los Trabajadores. Decimos en la mayor parte porque Canadá, al igual que Estados Unidos, es uno de los pocos países donde esta fecha no es observada. Curiosamente, pese a que el evento que motivó la fecha tuvo lugar precisamente en Estados Unidos, una masacre de trabajadores ocurrida en el mes de mayo de 1886 en la Haymarket Square de Chicago. Todos esos días, los trabajadores de distintos puntos de la ciudad habían estado manifestando lo que algunos han llamado el Gran Levantamiento, una masiva movilización obrera cuya demanda central era la jornada de 8 horas. Recuérdese que al producirse la Revolución Industrial, se trasladaron al trabajo manufacturero horarios similares a los que prevalecían en la agricultura, de sol a sol o desde el amanecer al crepúsculo, como había sido tradicionalmente en el campo. El nuevo modo de producción industrial, sin embargo, introdujo también una forma social de trabajo que crearía las condiciones para que los trabajadores se unieran y se organizaran exigiendo reivindicaciones de una manera como otros grupos laborales en el pasado, como los campesinos, por ejemplo, no habían logrado cristalizar de un modo tan efectivo como los obreros fabriles empezaban a hacerlo en esos días. La represión policial en Chicago, la condena a unos anarquistas acusados de arrojar una bomba que mató a 7 policías, las condenas a muerte de algunos de los acusados, todo ello de alguna manera galvanizaría a la clase obrera de Estados Unidos. El 1 de mayo fue establecido como fecha conmemorativa de la lucha de los trabajadores en un congreso de la Segunda Internacional en 1904. Eventualmente la fecha ha sido reconocida internacionalmente y no solo en círculos socialistas o de izquierda. Incluso en 1955 la Iglesia Católica instituyó el 1 de mayo como el Día de San José Obrero, santo patrono de los trabajadores, de acuerdo a esa iglesia. A más de un siglo de los acontecimientos que generaron la conmemoración de esta fecha, y en especial en estos tiempos en que el mundo se ve azotado por una persistente pandemia, examinar el presente estado de cosas para la clase trabajadora es de primera importancia. Sin duda, los trabajadores de la salud en todo el mundo, desde médicos al personal dedicado a la limpieza, han demostrado cuán importante el trabajo sigue siendo para la supervivencia de la especie humana. El avance de la tecnología, por cierto, ha provisto nuevos elementos para lidiar con problemas sanitarios, pero en última instancia es el trabajo humano el que hace la diferencia. Es por eso importante destacar las implicancias laborales que la actual pandemia y luego el periodo que la siga va a dejar. De la experiencia sufrida durante esta pandemia tendría que venir un énfasis en la valorización del trabajo. Durante toda esta emergencia a través del mundo, han sido millones los trabajadores que han perdido sus empleos y solo unos pocos gobiernos han sido capaces de proveer adecuados recursos a los desempleados. Ideas como el establecimiento de un ingreso básico universal, ensayado en algunas pocas jurisdicciones, pero en ninguna parte a un nivel nacional, empiezan a tomar fuerza como una manera de asegurar que, sin importar las circunstancias, cada persona y su familia cuente con los recursos adecuados para enfrentar situaciones como la que estamos viviendo. Otras propuestas que se han barajado han sido la de rebajar el número de horas del trabajo semanal y reformular la relación entre trabajador y empresa, dando una mayor participación a los empleados en el manejo de estas últimas. Evidentemente se trata de que esta situación creada se vaya transitando hacia una nueva forma de sociedad, entendiendo que si bien la pandemia ha sido un fenómeno de la naturaleza, corresponde a las sociedades, en base a conceptos de racionalidad, replantearse sus paradigmas. El consumismo desenfrenado, el agotamiento del medio ambiente y la explotación de los trabajadores son partes de un modelo de sociedad que debe desecharse si es que se quiere aprovechar las enseñanzas que la pandemia está entregando. Aunque sin duda la tecnología ha sido de mucha ayuda, especialmente en el desarrollo de vacunas y de elementos mecánicos aplicados en medicina, ha sido en última instancia el cuidado y la habilidad de los trabajadores de la salud la que ha permitido salvar vidas. Y así en otras esferas de las necesidades sociales. En conmemoración de esta fecha dedicada a los trabajadores del mundo, bueno es recordar que es el trabajo el que crea riqueza, o, como en el caso de la gente de la salud, el que posibilita la recuperación de los enfermos. Yesterday, Saturday, was, in most of the world, International Workers' Day. We say in most of the world because Canada, like the United States, is one of the few countries where this date is not observed. Curiously, despite the fact that the event that motivated the date took place precisely in the United States, a massacre of workers occurred in May 1886 in Chicago's Haymarket Square. All those days, workers from different parts of the city have been demonstrating in what some have called the Great Upheaval, a massive workers' mobilization whose central demand was the 8-hour workday. It should be recalled that with the Industrial Revolution, manufacturing work was given schedules similar to those prevailing in agriculture, from sunrise to sunset, or from dawn to dusk, as has traditionally been the case in the countryside. The new mode of industrial production, however, also introduced a social form of labor that would create the conditions for workers to unite and organize, making demands in a way that other labor groups in the past, like the peasants, for example, had not been able to crystallize as effectively as factory workers were beginning to do in those days. The police crackdown in Chicago, the conviction of anarchists accused of throwing a bomb that killed 7 policemen, the death sentences of some of the defendants, and this will somehow galvanize the U.S. working class. May Day was established as a date commemorating the workers' struggle at the Congress of the Second International in 1904. Eventually, the date has been recognized internationally, and not only in socialist or leftist circles. In 1955, the Catholic Church even instituted May 1st as the day of St. Joseph the Worker, patron saint of workers. More than a century after the events that generated the commemoration of these dates, and especially in these times when the world is plagued by a persistent pandemic, examining the present state of affairs for the working class is of prime importance. Without a doubt, healthcare workers around the world, from doctors to janitors, have demonstrated how important work remains to the survival of the human species. Advances in technology have certainly provided new elements for dealing with healthcare problems, but ultimately it is human labor that makes the difference. It is therefore important to highlight the labor implications that the current pandemic and the period that will follow it will leave behind. From the experience suffered during this pandemic, should come an emphasis on the valorization of labor. Through this emergency, millions of workers around the world have lost their jobs, and only a few governments have been able to provide adequate resources to the unemployed. Ideas such as the establishment of a universal basic income, tested in a few jurisdictions but nowhere at the national level, are beginning to take hold as a way to ensure that, regardless of circumstances, each person and his or her family has adequate resources to cope with situations such as the one we are experiencing. Other proposals that have been considered are to reduce the number of weekly working hours and to reformulate the relationship between the worker and the company, giving employees greater participation in the management of the latter. Evidently, it is a matter of moving from this created situation toward a new form of society, understanding that although the pandemic has been a natural phenomenon, it is up to societies based on concept of rationality to rethink their paradigms. Unbridled consumerism, depletion of the environment, and exploitation of workers are part of a model of society that must be discarded if we want to take advantage of the lessons that the pandemic is delivering. While technology has undoubtedly been of great help, especially in the development of vaccines and mechanical elements applied in medicine, it has ultimately been the care and skill of healthcare workers that has made it possible to save lives. And so, in other spheres of social needs, in commemoration of this date, dedicated to the workers of the world, it is good to remember that it is work that creates wealth, or, as in the case of healthcare workers, that makes possible the recovery of the sick. Good day.
No habrá manera, mi rayo de luna, que... que tú te vayas. Thank you.
Y en el fichero latino de hoy, 2 de mayo del 2021, tenemos entre los anuncios de interés público, vacuna contra el COVID-19. Las reservaciones están abiertas en Montreal para las personas de 50 años y más, en línea en el sitio web Click Santé, en francés y en inglés. La vacuna AstraZeneca es disponible para las personas mayores de 45 años. También para las personas con enfermedades crónicas y las personas con discapacidades físicas o intelectuales o con autismo. También se puede llamar por teléfono al 1-877-644-4545. Repito, 1-877-644-4545.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, posibilidades de chubascos durante el día con una temperatura máxima de 17 grados. Para esta noche, nublado con una mínima de 6 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquense con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Y síganos entonces en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
Y antes de terminar con el fichero latino, vamos a aprovechar la ocasión para saludar a Rommel, que cumple años y a quien, bueno, cumplió ayer años, pero a quien le deseamos que haya tenido un muy feliz día y hoy también que el día post cumpleaños. Así que Rommel, un fuerte abrazo y feliz cumpleaños.
Feliz cumpleaños, Rommel.
Llévame en un beso donde nace el infinito, donde se ha llorado la primer gota del mar, donde esperan todas las palabras que no escrito. Y final. Cura con un beso las angustias de mi aliento y acuchilla mi alma con tu piel de talismán. Bésame y derrumba los antiguos monumentos. Bésame y desata el carnaval. Mírame a los ojos y echa luz a las ojeras de esta lejanía que nos tiene de rival. Que la vida fue una espera.
falsa moneda. Y muy lentamente se despierta la ciudad. Bésame que somos los dos últimos que quedan, escapando de la soledad. Llévame a volar sobre los pájaros dormir.
Es virtual,
no es presencial.
El martes presencial,
no es virtual.
El miércoles por mí, el jueves es por Zoom. Al viernes llego loco, me quiero ir a Cancún. Y esto recién comienza y ya estoy agotado. Si te duele algo, hacerte un hisopado. Las clases no comienzan, al menos en mi grado, porque el maestro viejo y está dispensado.
Tiene síntomas, fiebre o moco, le duele algo, olfatea poco. Volvemos para atrás, el lunes es virtual.
No, es presencial.
El martes presencial.
No, es virtual.
El miércoles por mí, el jueves es por Zoom. Al viernes llego loca, me quiero ir a Cancún.
Hoy burbuja B, después burbuja A. Pasado ya no hay, se fueron a testear. Le hacen PCR, yo creo que es rectal. Yo soy contacto estrecho, ¿dónde tengo que llamar?
Tiene síntomas, fiebre o moco, le duele algo, olfatea poco. Volvemos para atrás.
El lunes es virtual.
No, es presencial.
El martes presencial.
No, es virtual.
El miércoles por mí, el jueves es por Zoom. Al viernes llego loco.
Me quiero ir a Cancún.
Me estoy volviendo loco.
No me puedo organizar.
Me estoy volviendo loca.
La semana infernal.
Me estoy volviendo loco.
Ya no sé qué cocinar.
Me estoy volviendo loca.
Con los pibes no doy más.
Me estoy volviendo loco.
Y todo vuelve a cambiar. Si este bicho no nos puede.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop Production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
Las vacunas.
I'm Skip Airy, N2EI of Southern New Jersey. If you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report for May the 2nd, 2021. My name's Sheldon, and Gilles is here with me, as usual. And it's our weekly half hour of news and information from the world of radio. We thank you for joining us. Our email address, if you'd like to reach us, is radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. We have our Facebook group, International Radio Report, and we're on the threshold of something special this week. We have 599 members. We welcome Dean, Hector, Jose, and Bill this week. And if you haven't joined yet, if you're the next one to join, you will be number 600. So if you haven't joined up the Facebook group, look for us at International Radio Report, and you can wear the 600 tag if you're the next person in there. So we thank everybody that's been supporting us on there. It's been great.
Don't expect a grand prize, though.
No. Just the honor of being number 600.
Yes.
So you can all go rush off and get that done. And, of course, we continue to draw more people into our new YouTube channel. You can look for us at youtube.com/International Radio Report, where you'll find the show each week right after the show airs. And we have at least one special edition up there already, which has been very popular. We hope to have some more of those coming up in the weeks ahead as well. So check us out on YouTube, and we thank everybody that's been following us there as well. Seems that a lot of people like that way of getting to the program if they can't hear it live. So it's turned out to be a great tool for us.
Yep.
On today's show, we have a lot of your ham radio operator and a shortwave listener. We've got a lot of ham-related information on the show this week, so we'll get to that shortly. First off, though, I've been a Sirius XM subscriber for a very long time, probably about over 10, 15 years maybe now, I think since they really got going. A really interesting development with their equipment in this story from Inside Radio. SiriusXM begins mining consumer data from two-way receivers. 360L receivers show up in more new vehicles. SiriusXM has begun to tap into the data that the two-way radios are sending back to the satellite broadcaster. Remember that SiriusXM in-vehicle is no longer purely based on a one-way network, as CEO Jennifer Witz said during a conference call with analysts on Wednesday. It's tremendously exciting to have this growing collection of data at our fingertips, and this data will grow dramatically over the next few years as the 360L becomes the default SiriusXM platform in vehicles. With the interactive receivers now in close to 2 million vehicles, the data shows driving and commuting climbed to 90% of pre-COVID levels in recent weeks. A positive sign that people are getting back to normal life.
The 360L radios access the car's modem, which opens up a return path of user-level data. That can help Satcaster improve one-to-one marketing efforts with a goal of converting a high percentage of free trial subscriptions into paid customers and retain paid customers for longer periods of time and customize pricing for different audience segments. This is still new for us, and we have much to refine, Witt said. But with growing volumes and experience, we are well on our way to enhancing both the consumer experience and business performance from our next generation Sirius XM platform. The new receivers will also allow us to personalize their content. Baseball fans, for example, can choose between the home or the visiting team announcers for its 30 Major League Baseball play-by-play channels. Currently, about 18% new satellite radio-enabled vehicles have the new receivers, and the number is expected to reach 25% by year end. Now, I have a feeling that some people are going to find this a little bit creepy.
I have two takes on this. First of all, that, you know, they can have some statistics back on what people are listening. I think it's fine in a way because they can actually customize the content depending on what's popular, what's not. Where we don't have any clues here is that anonymized in some way. Meaning they can send you maybe more of what you like, but without, you know, knowing that it's Sheldon Harvey listening. That I have more problem with. If it's getting data in a way anonymized, it's okay. You know, I don't have too much problem with that. But if it's getting data and actually linking it specifically to a customer, I don't know. That's kind of a delicate thing to do.
Yeah, Sirius has always been, Sirius XM has been always very careful about sheltering their numbers. You know, they talk about their number of subscribers, their revenue figures, that sort of thing. But you cannot find data on how many listeners they have per channel, sort of thing. And a lot of people have asked me about that, like, you know, just how many people are listening to the classic rock station? How many people are listening to this channel or that channel? I've been told that they have that data, that they know at any given point, any minute of the day, they know how many people, how many of their radios out there are tuned to a specific channel. And they do make a lot of adjustments to their channel lineup. They drop channels, they switch channels, they add, delete. But this is getting a little more deep than that. Yeah. It's really going into individual preferences and interests and that sort of thing. So there might be a little bit of kickback on this, I think, because, you know, it's actually, you know, good on their part that they're actually putting this story out there, that they are doing this.
Yeah.
You know, they could have been doing it behind the scenes and not tell anybody about it. So that at least they've been open about it. But I think some people might have a little bit of difficulty with this, depending on exactly how they use it.
I think they had to release this story. I mean, especially in the United States, not telling a user that the content you're listening to is actually, they know about it. They've had that data. I mean, in the U.S., they could be sued so fast for not saying this. Mm-hmm. I just hope that, you know, that it's like I said, it's delicate because knowing what your listeners are tuned to, that's a lot of it's a profile of you, who you are.
Yeah, you know, you could look at it from the political side because they have politically based channels as well. And some of them are, you know, very liberal. Some of them are very conservative. Depending on who you're listening to can give them a clue as to, okay, we know who that person is, you know, in favor of, and we know who that person's in favor of. You know, there's a lot of statistical stuff that can be garnered from this as well that could be used maybe for other purposes. So, yeah, it's a tricky little thing. But
it's a fine line.
Something that people will be watching.
Yeah, and that's why anonymized, it needs to be anonymized. It's like they still get the data, they still get tons of information about what the listeners want, but being anonymized, a lot of companies do that. You're assigned just a number, and no one at the company knows that number is associated with what account.
Exactly.
It's just you're a number. They don't know who you are, but they can still use that data and know what people like and want to listen to more.
Yeah. Interesting story, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. We'll move on to some of the amateur radio information coming up this week and some special events in particular. We'll have our normal list of upcoming ham contests, but these are special events that I think both listeners and hams will find interesting.
Yep. Some interesting stuff coming out of Europe first. Europe Day on the Air 2021. So this is from the Southgate Amateur Radio News. This year, 9th of May is on Sunday, but we will be active from Friday the 7th until Sunday the 9th, the whole weekend, with the special call signs Amateur Oscar 1 to Amateur Oscar 9 EU, Echo Uniform. So these stations will commemorate the creation of the European Union in 1950. As usual, special QSL and award will be available. Contact also valid for the radio clubs of the World Award EA Net. Europe Day on the Air is an activity carried out since 2010 by the EA Digital Federation with the support of the European Radio Amateurs Organization in order to promote the European spirit and harmony among citizens, peoples, and nations. How to contact the special stations? During those days, they will be on the air using different bands and more usual modes like phone, CW, digital. A good way to locate them is through the DX clusters and are also consulting the agenda of the activity. Special QSLs will be available for hams and shortwave listeners. So there's going to be some interesting stuff to listen to in there. So we'll post the details for the website for more information. There's also the England Special Event Station via Southgate Amateur Radio News also. The following stations are going to be active in honor of the passing of Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, that passed away on April 9th, at the age of 99. Golf Bravo Zero, Delta Oscar Echo, and Golf Bravo 2 Delta Oscar Echo, two stations with activity. So the GB0 station will be active until May 6th, and the GB2 station will be active until May 15th. So interesting stuff to listen to.
Yeah, those are stations. The DOE, of course, is Duke of Edinburgh, so that's why they're using that special suffix on the on the UK calls.
And what's happening with the sun this week? We had a lot of little solar flares this week, actually. It was interesting to see that at some point we had like four or five sunspot groups on the solar disk, and there were tons of little C flares across the week that triggered from time to time a little bit higher geomagnetic activity, but overall was still nice conditions. There's a interesting story that comes out here. They've been looking or surveying the past 500 years. So of solar activity or geomagnetic storms, actually. So imagine living in Florida. You'll never see the Northern Lights, right? Actually, the odds may be better than you think. A new historical study just published in the Journal of Space Weather and Space Climate shows that great aurora storms occur every 40 to 60 years. They're happening more often than we thought, says Dolores Knipp of the University of Colorado. The paper's lead author, surveying the past 500 years, we found many extreme storms producing auroras in places like Florida, Cuba, and Samoa. The kind of historical research is not easy. Hundreds of years ago, most people had never ever heard of aurora borealis. When the lights appeared, they were described as fog, vapors, or spirits. Almost anything other than auroras. Making a timeline 500 years long requires digging through unconventional records such as personal diaries, ship's log, local weather reports, often in languages that are foreign to the researcher. We defined a great storm simply as one which has auroras visible to the unaided eye at or below 30 degrees magnetic latitude.
Visual sightings were key. The human eye is a sensor we've had in common with observers since the beginning of recorded history. Pre-modern scientists didn't have satellites or magnetometers to measure solar storms, but they could look up at the sky. NIPS team tallied 14 examples of storms where many people saw auroras within 30 degrees of the equator. There may be more, she notes. For example, I am aware of a low-latitude event that occurred between February and April 1648. It's not on the timeline, though, because we haven't yet been able to pin down the date. So there's a whole cluster of sightings in September 1770. The Great Storm of 1770 appears to be a 500-year event. There were low-latitude auroras for 9 nights in a row. During the 1770 storm, extremely bright red auroras blanketed Japan and parts of China. Captain James Cook himself saw the display from the HMS Endeavour near Timor Island, south of Indonesia. NIPS colleagues Hisashi Ayakawa of the Nagoya University has found drawings of the interesting sunspot. It was twice the size of the sunspot that caused the famous Carrington event of 1859. NIPS timeline suggests that this was not just another great storm. Something exceptional happened in 1770 that researchers still don't fully understand. Today's senior space weather researchers were taught in school that great storms are rare. The Carrington event was long thought to be a singular event alone in the historical record. Recent studies are finding otherwise. Just last month, Jeffrey Love of the U.S. Geophysical Survey published a paper in Space Weather showing that extreme geomagnetic storms occur roughly every 45 years or so. As a result, in accord with NIPS, he used completely different techniques, extreme value statistics and so on, magnetometer records, to reach similar conclusions. The last great storm in the timeline occurred 32 years ago. Soon, it will be time for another. Stay tuned. So, kind of interesting to see that they happen maybe a little more than we thought. And, well, no big storms right now, but we will have solar flux around 77, 78. And there is a solar wind coming from a coronal hole that might actually reach Earth today, May 2nd. So if conditions are not all that they could be, that could be the problem behind it. But you know what? Turn on that radio, tune the bands, and listen.
This is Jeff Eichner of Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, United States of America. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
You are tuned to the International Radio Report. We thank you for joining us. We have another amateur radio-related story for you. Some of you may have tuned across the 80-meter or 40-meter band and heard ham radio operators operating in AM mode, amplitude modulation.
Yeah.
These super clear, strong signals, not what we're used to with amateur radio.
With amazing audio.
So they are now announcing the formation of the Amplitude Modulation Amateur Radio Society. And this comes from Southgate Amateur Radio News. It gives us great pleasure to introduce the newly formed Amplitude Modulation Amateur Radio Society. The aim of the society is to promote the use of the original voice mode using vintage, modern, and homebrew equipment on all the amateur bands available to us. And they go on to say, we shall also strive to promote the AM mode to the national and international societies to ensure the mode is supported for future generations. The initial work to set up this new society has been undertaken by Kevin GW0PUH, Alan G6RBM, Mark MW0RZS, John G3YPZ, and Simon MW0NWM. We're planning to organize a quarterly news club newsletter, two annual weekend AM events, activity events, AM contests and construction events, and we plan to join the RSGB and other national societies based on where our members live. They will be holding an annual general meeting on Wednesday, July the 21st at 1900 UTC on Zoom. They have lots of plans, but to make a success of this, we need members to help support this work and make the club successful. Memberships are available and will be renewed prior to every AGM. Members are welcome from all over the world. If you're interested in joining, please email the Society Treasurer, Simon Taylor, Mike Whiskey Zero, November Whiskey Mike, at the following email address, secretary@am-ars.org. Hope to have you join us and enjoy the original voice mode. So this is kind of neat.
It is neat. And it's fun to listen to those. I mean, the amazing thing every time you fall on one of those AM guys is the quality of the audio and the richness in the audio, which you don't find on single sideband. And a little bit of for a few tips for people that would like to tune some of these. A lot of you out there have shortwave radios that don't have single sideband. So these AMers are actually great to listen to, and it gives you a little insight on what the amateur bands are all about. In the evening, 80 meters, anywhere from about 3870 up to 3890. There's a lot of them there. 3875, 3885 seems to be very popular. Around 7280, 7290 in the 40-meter band, lots of AM activity there. 14290. Ish on the 20 meter band is also popular. And when 10 meter is open, one of the places where there's a lot of activity, because there's a lot of space for them, is just the bottom part of 29 megahertz, 29,000 to about 29,100, 150. When activity is open on 10 meters, you have a lot of AMers that are there also. And it's fun, you know, it gives you a little more of activity on AM mode. And it's a nice mode. It's one of those interesting modes that you don't hear a lot in the ham bands. And it's kind of cool that they're actually having a little more of a serious club event, or more of a, you know, group of the AMer society here.
Yeah, it's good to sort of bring them all together. I'm not sure how many of them there are out there, but maybe this will sort of help them determine the numbers of people doing AM on the ham bands.
Absolutely.
There's a neat event coming up that we'll tell you about now called Armed Forces Day.
Yep, this is always fun, and it helps in kind of having, you know, amateur radio mixed in with the Mars network, which is the military auxiliary radio system for the U.S. Army. Annual Armed Forces Day crossband test is set for May 7th and 8th. This is via the ARRL. The U.S. Department of Defense will host this year's Armed Forces Day crossband test Friday and Saturday, May 7th and 8th, in recognition of Armed Forces Day on May 15th. The event is open to all radio amateurs. For more than 50 years, military and amateur radio stations have taken part in this exercise, designed to include amateur radio and government radio operators alike. The AFD crossband test is a unique opportunity to test two-way communications between military and amateur radio stations, as authorized under the FCC Part 97 rules. These tests provide opportunities and challenges for radio operators to demonstrate individual technical skills in a tightly controlled exercise in which military stations will transmit on selected military frequencies and will announce the specific amateur radio frequencies being monitored. So this is definitely a great event, and I pretty much every year when this happens, I tune around and listen. So it's cross-band, meaning that amateur stations broadcast on amateur frequencies, but Mars stations will be out of the amateur bands very often in their own Mars frequencies that they use for their own services when they actually go on the air with nets. Actually, anybody that listens to Mars nets, they have a slight difference, but they do sound like amateur radio nets, and it's nice to have both of them come together. And at the same time, I think it's a neat exercise to have, you know, in case something happens, amateur radio and U.S. military can join forces in the communications. There's a request to form that you can actually fill out to obtain a QSL card if you want, which is the usarmymars.org/events. So if you hear them, I think that could be very nice to get a QSL card.
Yeah, it's a really neat event, and it's very popular. You'll hear the bands crowded during this event. Again, it's May 7th and May the 8th.
So we have amateur radio contests, apparently.
Yep, a few things coming up this weekend, or next weekend, we should say. The first one, sponsored by the Straight Key Century Club, is the Straight Key Century Club Weekend Sprintathon, 1200 Zulu May 8th to 2359 Zulu May 9th. It is open to all licensed amateurs as well as shortwave listeners, but they have to use CW equipment. It could be a straight key, a sideswiper, or a bug, unless you qualify for an exemption. And participants may sprint on 160 through 6 meters, so it does include the 6-meter band, excluding work bands, and of course it is CW only.
There's the Volta Worldwide RTTY Contest, 12 Zulu May 8th to 12 Zulu May 9th, sponsored by the SSB and RTTY Club of Como and the Associazione Radio Amatori Italiani. The contest is organized to increase interest in RTTY mode as used by radio amateurs and to honor the Italian discoverer of electricity, Alessandro Volta. The bands 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz, and that is in RTTY.
The Union of Radio Amateurs of Russia is holding the CQM International DX Contest, 1200 Zulu May 8th to 1159 Zulu May 9th. The goals are to spread the idea of peaceful coexistence, strengthen mutual understanding and cooperation between peoples through amateur radio, and improve the sports skills of radio sportsmen. And amateur radio is considered a sport in Russia. So they treat it a little bit differently than the rest of the world does. It's all the major HF bands. It is both CW and SSB.
And finally, we have the Arkansas QSO Party, 14 Zulu May 8th to 02 Zulu May 9th, sponsored by the Noise Blankers Radio Group. I like the name. The objective, stations outside Arkansas worked as many Arkansas stations in as many Arkansas counties as possible. Stations inside Arkansas work everyone and spread good cheer. The bands are 80, 40, 20, 15, 10, and 2 meters. Contacts on 2 meters must be simplex, no repeaters allowed. And that's CW, SSB, Digital, which is RTTY, PSK, no FT8, no FT4.
All right, so lots of activities for you going on, if it's special events, as we mentioned, or the upcoming contests to keep everybody busy. And both shortwave listeners and amateurs can participate in any of these events. So and lots of interesting things going on for the week ahead. And unfortunately, though, that is the end of it for us for this week. Our 30 minutes flies by as usual. We thank you for tuning in. You can reach us, radioreport@yahoo.com, by email. And you can join our Facebook group. See if you're number 600, the 600th member we're looking for. Look for International Radio Report on Facebook. And check out the show on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/International Radio Report. And of course, we are on CKUT 90.3 FM here in Montreal every week at 10:30, 14:30 UTC. Thanks for joining us today. We will talk to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the show here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
This is Radio Tirana. We begin our broadcast in the English language. Announcement. The Central Committee of the Party of Labour of Albania, the Presidium of the People's Assembly of the People's Socialist Republic of Albania, the Council of Ministers of the People's Socialist Republic of Albania, the General Council of the Democratic Front of Albania. Comrades, communists, workers, cooperativists, intellectuals.
Le palier d'alerte de votre région ou d'une région à proximité est rouge. Afin de limiter la propagation de la COVID-19, les rassemblements d'amis ou de familles dans les résidences et cours privés sont interdits. Les déplacements entre régions sont à éviter et les déplacements vers les zones jaunes sont interdits. De plus, il est défendu de quitter son domicile entre 20...
We all work together with a wiggle and a giggle. We all work together with a giggle and a grin. We all work together with a wiggle and a giggle. We all work together with a giggle and a grin. With a wiggle and a giggle and a google and a goggle and a jigger and a jagger and a giggle and a grin. My mommy said, and my teacher too, there's all kinds of work that I can do. Dry my dishes, sweep my floor, but if we all work together, well, it won't take long. So we all work together with a wiggle and a giggle, and we all work together with a giggle and a grin. We all work together with a wiggle and a giggle. We all work together with a giggle and a grin. My daddy, he said,